But I want to look at the psalm in a greater light. I want to kind of track this through Scripture and get a little better understanding of it as God unfolds this. I memorized this as I was young. I remember as a young man quoting this, and I think I was quoting it. We were talking about it at home, and I was quoting it, and my grandma corrected me. I skipped a verse. And I don't know if you've do a lot of memorizing. I've always tried to. And those parts you miss that you skip become sometimes the most important ones, right? And I skip verse 3. He restoreth my soul and leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And that's got to be the heart of this psalm, right? The whole key to it. So this is the point I want you to get as we look through this, all right? You have a good shepherd who has prepared a path of righteousness for his name's sake. Stay on it. Don't get off it. Don't go try and get back to the broad road that leads to destruction. Oh, he's a good shepherd. He'll bring you back, but it's going to hurt. You'll come back bleeding, bruised, broken. You don't want to go there. We want to stay on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. The 23rd Psalm. First of all, he builds us up. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside quiet waters. And then the salvation passage, he restores or refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake. He builds us up. And then you have the bring us through passage. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even though I walk through the darkest valley. I like the King James. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. We're going to look at that shadow valley. And then he takes us home. You prepare a table in the presence of our enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So this has been a favorite song for probably the last 3,000 years. Since it was written. The idea of a shepherd goes way, way, way back in the Bible. There's a lot of verses about sheep, not near as many about shepherds, but Genesis 48:15, Jacob talks about the Lord, his shepherd, who was his rock. One of the first references of the shepherd. So it goes way, way back to the very beginning where the patriarchs understood that God was shepherding them. But God used people all throughout this thing to be part of this process. This word shepherd is often translated pastor. God brings his people into ministry to help others along the way. Moses was one of those. In Numbers 27:15, Moses said to the Lord, "The God who gives breath to all living things, appoint someone over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so that the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd." And this becomes the crucial point of this whole thing, this idea of sheep without a shepherd. It's a bit of a troubling problem, actually, all through the Bible. Now, we're real familiar with the 23rd Psalm, this Good Shepherd Psalm. There is another Shepherd Psalm. Actually, it's mentioned 7 times in the Psalms. But there's one over in Psalm 80 that's worth looking at. A Shepherd Psalm, but it's very different. This is one that echoes, I think, our heart's cry in our own days. Psalm 80, "Hear us, Shepherd of Israel. You who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, Manasseh." Those are his people. "Awaken your might, come and save us. Restore us, O God, make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. How long, Lord God Almighty, will your anger molder against the prayers of your people?" That's interesting, isn't it? That is interesting. The shepherd of Israel, and yet his people are lost, crying out to be saved, and his anger smolders against the prayers of their people. Well, they left the path. See, that's the problem. They left the path. They got off the path that God prepared for them, and running after other idols, running after other gods, running after other things. And it became a national disaster. Do you ever wonder about that? This has been a huge issue for the Christians, for believers since the time of Christ, that our prayers should be answered. So many times the people of God have talked about how they don't feel their prayers go any higher than the ceiling. They wonder why God doesn't answer them. Well, there are reasons. There are reasons. The main reason he gets angry is given to us actually in the New Testament, James chapter 4. And it boils down to this. Don't pray for naughty things. What causes fights and quarrels among you, James 4:1? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill, you covet, you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity or anger against God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Stay on the path. Don't get off it. Don't go after the world. Don't get on that broad and a way that leads to destruction. You're going to get hurt. It's going to be painful. And you're going to find yourself confronted by God. He will bring you back, but it's going to hurt. Psalm 80, verse 5. You have fed them with the bread of tears and made them drink tears by the bowlful. That's an odd shepherd. You made us an object of derision to our neighbors. Our enemies mock us. Restore us, God Almighty, make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. You transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. Its branches reach as far as the sea. Its shoots as far as the river. A bowl of tears and yet a vine that filled the land. Jesus, and we're going to look at this, Jesus, the good shepherd, told his people, said, in this world you're going to have trouble. They're going to hate you because they hated me. And you're going to have this conflict. You're going to have this conflict. And Jesus himself says one of these days he will wipe the tears from our eyes. So there are going to be some tears. But look up. But look up. Just as this vine overflowed Egypt, overflowed into the land God promised him, so the Bible says the gospel, like a vine, is overflowing into the whole world. Look up. Look at what God is doing. Get the bigger picture. Set your heart on things of God so you can rejoice. Because this gospel is going everywhere just like he promised. That is a great encouragement to his people, or at least it ought to be. I preached this sermon a while back in another church. It wasn't particularly a Bible-centered church. And it went over about like a lead balloon. But you know what Spurgeon said? If you don't want others to be saved, you're not saved yourself. An overflowing vine, watered by the tears of their people, and yet it covers the land. This vine that we have been grafted into is flowing over into the whole world. It's overflowing into the whole world. Verse 12, why have you broken down its walls so that those who pass by pick its grapes? Boars from the forest ravage it. Insects from the fields feed on it. Return to us, God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine, the root your right hand has planted, the sun you have raised up for yourself. There's a sun here overseeing this vine. what is wrong with him that this vine is in a place that's all broken down? What is wrong with the church? People are always pointing out that there's just the church seems to be kind of a mess. You got churches that are going off to the world and accepting all the wickedness and promoting it. You got churches that are turning their back on God and doing all kinds of things. But we've got the in this age, just like the seven churches of Revelation. You know, two of the seven are doing something good, one of the seven is doing nothing good, you know, and the other four are all messed up. What are you doing? Well, he's working with the sheep. He works in our hearts. He works in people individually. The church is here to promote ministry. This is where the sheep are gathered together to work and to accomplish his purpose. But his work is in our heart to keep us on the path of righteousness. Stay on the path. Even the churches may not be safe. Israel wasn't always a safe place. They turned their back on God. And if you remember, Babylonians came down and carried them all away. And yet God knew their path led to Babylon. He prepared the whole way for them. He brought them back again, rejoicing. There is a son in this. Church may seem to be broken down. Boars from the forest have ravaged it. Chuck Swindoll has got a good sermon, Boars in the Vineyard, talking about problems in the church. And yet God has raised it up. Its branches reach from sea to sea, shoot across the whole world. Even though it is broken down, God still is building it up. He has raised up a son for himself. Another odd thing about the shepherd. The shepherd becomes a sheep. It's a little different. Not too many shepherds want to be a sheep. Don't know why God wanted to be a person, a human, to come down in our likeness. But the son that he raised up for himself becomes a sheep, and we'll see that as well. Your vine is cut down, it's burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the son of man, whom you have raised up for yourself. This is in the New Testament too. Remember what he said about vines that don't bear fruit. Right? They're cut down. They're burned. Your vine is cut down, burned with fire. Your rebuke. Your people perish. Stay on the road. Stay on the path of righteousness. Don't get out in the brambles. Don't fall down into the ditch trying to get back to that broad road that the world's on. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. The Son of Man, let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the Son of Man that you've raised up for yourself. Stick with Jesus. He's already prepared the way. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us. We will call in your name. Restore us, Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. This is a path to salvation. Remember in Psalm 23, he builds them up, he brings them through, and he takes them home. This is a path from salvation. Psalm 80 is a psalm of the shepherd too. It's a little different. A little different, but it talks about the shepherd. New Testament talks a lot about the shepherd. The good shepherd and his sheep. But there are some kind of odd things here that we want to look at. And they're really, really important to get and to understand. John likes to talk about the shepherd, and John 10 is the good shepherd passage. We're going to read John 10. You're going to find out that the good shepherd does not abandon the sheep when the wolf comes. And then we're going to get to John 16, where Jesus, the good shepherd, says, I'm leaving. What is it with that? We'll check it out here. John 10. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd, does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then if the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it, the man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And he knew at that time that the sheep would be scattered. He told them that. The shepherd will be struck, the sheep will be scattered. What's the deal with this shepherd? He's a good shepherd. He's not running away, he's laying down his life. And yet it was a time when he was going away. His shepherds were very, his disciples, his sheep, were very distressed about all of this. They're very distressed about all of this. John chapter 16. Austin, if you want to cue up that video, we'll play it here in just a second. John 16, all this I have told you that you will not fall away. That's all right, very good. Just a second, and we'll be ready for it. Thank you. Got all ready to go. All this I've told you is that you will not fall away. Stay on the path. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this, so when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. We want to think about this. We've got a good shepherd. We want to stay on the path. And a lot of times this path looks distressing. It's like God says, like, I'm the good shepherd. I take care of my sheep. You know, it's the hireling that runs away when there's trouble. And then trouble comes, a time of great darkness. And Jesus says, I'm leaving. But he doesn't leave him alone. He doesn't leave him alone. He gives them the Holy Spirit. Even before the Holy Spirit's poured out on Pentecost, he does not leave them alone. Our good shepherd has the power over circumstances. I want you to get that. He has prepared the path for you, and it leads to victory. He has already given you everything that you need. He knows all ends. He's prepared everything that you need along the line. So if you get off the path, you're not going to have what you need. It's going to hurt, and he needs to bring you back to this path that leads us home to glory. Let's look at the end of John 16 here that John MacArthur was talking about. Pick up verse 25. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day you will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered this world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. Back to a place of authority, back to a throne, back to this realm where he can make your path straight. Then Jesus' disciples said, now you're speaking clearly without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. Do you now believe? Jesus replied, a time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. Well, yeah, Jesus is leaving, but before that happens, they're going to leave. They're going to run. They're going to be scattered. And Jesus will go through his trial under the power and care of his Father. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Now, I don't want to belittle this. I know what it is to go to church on Sunday and get back into the workforce on Monday, and you get up on and you go through the Sunday night blues, you know, or I got to get up and go to work again, and you make that mental shift. And then you're going through the week in the profane after you've been in the sacred. And it's wearying, discouraging, wears you down. But that's why we come back together, to build each other up. That's why assembling yourselves together is a command. Keeps your heart up. Keeps you encouraged. And you do not want to lose that. You don't want to lose the courage to stay on the road. One of the things that gets people off the road and running back to the world is they lose courage because they're not staying. They're not staying close to the Lord. Not staying close to our Heavenly Father. I want to close here looking at the victory part of this. The victory part. All right. Stay on the path of righteousness for His name's sake, because it leads to victory. It leads to victory. This shepherd is also a lamb. And it's a very, very cool thing. Revelation 5, verse 6, I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went back and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. A bowl full of prayers of God's people. We went from a bowl full of tears, right, to a bowl full of prayers. I'm not sure that they aren't the same thing if we're praying right. A bowl full of prayers. I have a lot of prayers that I hope will be answered. I have a whole list of people that I want to see get saved, to be there in that day. I have all kinds of people that I pray for healing and restitution, that I pray that God will restore them, build them up. I have a lot of prayers. I look forward to this day. Here's a bowl full of the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. Every tribe and language and people and nation. If you're going to stay on this road, you need to become a people person. You need to be concerned about people. You need to care about people. You need to empathize with people. You need to know when people are hurting and suffering so that you can pray for them. You need to be able to encourage them, just as Christ encourages us, knowing that He has the power to do it. You got to be a people person. That's the only thing that lasts. The only thing that makes it to glory are the souls and the lives of people. The Lamb on the throne. Chapter 7. Verse 13, one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they? Where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." He said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes, perhaps with answered prayer. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside quiet waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me along the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for this good shepherd. Lord, we pray that you will just convict our hearts and give us the courage to stay on the path of righteousness for your name's sake, having the faith that leads to victory, the hope of answered prayer, and the loving presence of your shepherding spirit. I ask your blessing on each one who's come out here this morning, that you be with us as we go through this week of work, that we would be a witness to those that we serve, a provision to those that you bring under our care, and in all things, pointing one another to Jesus Christ. We commit these things to him, thanking him for all that he has done, looking forward in faith to all that he's going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.